Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us begin with singing Psalter 102, stanzas 1 through 5. In thy wrath and hot displeasure, chasten not thy servant, Lord. Let thy mercy without measure help and peace to me afford. 1 through 5 of Psalter 102. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, the 7th chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. For I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Wherefore, Though I wrote unto you, I did it not for his cause that had done the wrong, nor for his cause that suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. For if I have boasted anything to him of you, I am not ashamed. But as we spake all things to you in truth, even so our boasting, which I made before Titus, is found a truth. And his inward affection is more abundant toward you, whilst he remembered the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling ye received him. I rejoice, therefore, that I have confidence in you in all things. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, who art in the heavens, and we upon this thy footstool, grant unto us the spirit of grace and supplications, and a true reverence at thy feet, that we may come to thee as we ought to come to thee, in spirit and in truth, that we may come to thee in honesty, and not hiding, and not covering, but in all openness, that we may lay before thee all our heart, that all our sin, which is so open and naked before thee, with whom we have to do, may also be brought by us, because there is no way that we are able to take it away. We cannot make it right before thee. Thou knowest our hearts, thou knowest our lives, that we are of ourselves so unable to do one thing that is right in thy holy sight. And we are required to do everything according to thy will and thy law. O Lord, forgive our sins. O do wash us and cleanse us. O do apply that precious and all-atoning blood of thy dear Son to the doorposts of our hearts and of our children. O grant us instruction out of thy word, that while it is called today, that we may receive admonishment from thee, that we may receive that comfort from thee, even as we have read out of thy holy word. Then there was a rejoicing when thy people did walk in thy ways. Oh, that thou may give it also unto each and every one of us in a personal way, and then also unto us as a congregation. Lord, leave us not to go in our own ways, but wilt thou have dealings with us as a people, that we might learn to walk in thy ways, and that we may be kept from the paths of sin and from following after the idols of this world, of all the nations that are about us, for they are so many and they increase. But Lord, thou knowest what the temptations are, and also our inability to stand against all those temptations of Satan himself. That thou may help us, O Lord, that thou may lead us by the hand, that thou may fence us on every side, and keep us from evil and from sin, and cause us to walk in thy commandments. And O, do send forth the Spirit of Thy only begotten Son into our hearts, that there may be none that are without hope, that they also may be cleansed, and that they also may be washed. Oh, that our sin may be opened unto us, in order that we may not despair, but that we may cry, that we may supplicate at Thy footstool. For there is forgiveness with Thee, that Thou mayest be feared. Oh, give it also then to be experienced in the midst of us. Give Thy own children to speak of Thy goodness, of Thy mercy amidst well-deserved wrath. Then Thy name will be glorified also in the midst of us and in the midst of our families. Do raise up the children, the boys and girls, to be instructed by Thy Spirit even in the days of their youth. Oh, keep them from following the ways in which Satan draws them, for they are so powerful, and they are so many and varied in the day in which we are living. Lord, keep watch over and protect them in a special way, and may Thou send Thy Spirit to work amongst them, those that may go to our own school. Lord, remember the teachers, principals, administrators, and all those that labor on behalf of our children. Do strengthen, do give them faithfulness and much of the fear of Thy name, that will guide. But wilt Thou bless it also for the instruction of our dear children, and those that go to other places or that are taught in their own homes. Lord, may Thou bless also that instruction, and give faithfulness to parents, and that we leave it not to others to instruct our children, but that the responsibility may be felt in our own hearts, that we may take it upon ourselves to speak unto them, and to warn them from the ways of sin, and to instruct them out of Thy holy word. Give us more faithfulness, and wilt Thou grant true conversions. Remember the young people who go to universities and colleges, where also Satan does have so much place. Lord, oh, that Thou may give them to remember that truth, in which they have been catechized in their youth, and that they may be kept also from following those ways that are so dear to our own hearts, in which Satan does attempt to lead them, where humanism takes such a large place. Lord, wilt Thou instruct in Thy truth, and then they shall be kept. Wilt Thou be with each and every one, also those that are in the workforce and that must come against so much of Satan's works. Lord, may Thou keep them also. Give fathers what is necessary in the midst of their families to bring up and to instruct their children, and mothers in their place also. And Lord, wilt Thou so be round about us, each and every one in a personal way, but also each and every one in our family and also in our official duties within Thy church. May Thou remember also in the time in which we are, the cattle industry, where there is, where Thy judgment seem to be upon it. Lord, may Thou help where a man is not able. Wilt Thou give what is necessary to receive the profit of our hands, that we may be able to care for our families. But may Thou also instruct us in these ways, oh, that we may take heed to Thy callings, in which they come to us in so many ways, that we may take heed also to our ways, and that by these things we may be instructed in our own unworthiness and in thy own law, that we might learn to walk in thy statutes. Remember us as a nation. Turn us from our sin. O give us to a walk according to thy law, and that we also may judge a righteous judgment in the courts of our land, and that the innocent may be set free, that the guilty may receive their place, and that there may be instruction also by thee within the prison houses themselves. Lord, go thou with all those that are upon the mission fields. Remember thy word, and that thou wouldst bless it even unto the end of the world. May thou fulfill it in the days that we live in. Remember those that wage warfare. Wilt thou supply in the needs and for those that are in great danger every day? Wilt thou help them again in this day and in the week that lies before them? Lord, give them to cry to thee, that thou may protect them, and that they may feel that it is thy everlasting arms that are underneath. Wilt thou supply them in all the ways of this life? Look upon us again in this afternoon hour, when we are to bring a portion of thy word that is given to us by the instruction of our forefathers. Lord, may thou be on our right and on our left hand, and that we may receive what is necessary to explain it in a simple way. But may it be also with a heart that is full of love, that thou may give us as a consistory what is necessary to discipline within thy church, that thou may give us as a people what is necessary to submit under that discipline, and that we all may feel together that we are under thy hand. Lord, remember us, forgive us, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 223, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Where'er his creatures gather, the unseen God is near. Let rulers fear their ruler, their judge let judges fear. How long, ye earthly judges, will ye pervert the right? How long shall wicked persons have favor in your sight? Psalter 223, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Congregation, we have 2 weeks ago begun to consider the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And when we have spoken of those keys, then we have said that there is a possibility of being only on the one side or on the other, that there is an inside and there is an outside, that there is no third way. And thus, the keys of the kingdom of heaven, they can be used to include us, or they can be used to exclude us. They can be used even as the Lord has shut in Noah and his family into the ark, or they can be used to shut out all the rest. And thus, when we have spoken of that key of the preaching of the word, are there then those who have been concerned whether that key will be to shut them in or to shut them out? There is also a second key that we wish to consider in this afternoon. And that key is also the same, in that it will either shut us in or it will shut us out. And we wish, with the help of the Lord, to consider that out of Lord's Day 31, and the last question, question number 85. Lord's Day 31, question number 85. How is the kingdom of heaven shut and opened by Christian discipline? Answer thus: when, according to the command of Christ, those who under the name of Christians maintain doctrines or practices inconsistent therewith and will not, after having been often brotherly admonished, renounce their errors and wicked course of life, are complained of to the church, or to those who are thereunto appointed by the church, and if they despise their admonition, are by them forbidden the use of the sacraments, whereby they are excluded from the Christian church and by God Himself from the kingdom of Christ. And when the promise and show real amendment, are again received as members of Christ and His church. So far, our Lord's Day. The use of the second key, namely Christian discipline. First, the command to discipline in the church. Second, the character of discipline in the church. And third, the steps of discipline in the church. The use of the second key, namely Christian discipline. First, the command. Second, the character. Third, the steps of discipline within the church. How is the kingdom of heaven shut and opened by Christian discipline? Thus, when according to the command of Christ. Thus, our fathers say immediately, and that Christian discipline is not the invention of a man, but that this is the command of Christ and of God. And that we can read this written in the holy word of God in many places. Where do we read this? We begin even in the Old Testament. And then we, in many places, read of the command of the Lord to cut a person off from the congregation of the Lord. That for many sins, a person was to be cut off, his name cut off from the among the people of Israel. We read of this when, for example, they refused to circumcise according to the commandment of the Lord, when they would eat leaven at the Passover feast, when they had compounded the oil or perfume for their personal use, and the same as that holy anointing oil of the Lord in the tabernacle, when they would eat blood along with the meat, when they offered sacrifices elsewhere than the tabernacle for fornication, when they kept not the Passover for all presumptuous sins, when they approached the tabernacle being unclean for the desecration of the Sabbath day, and so we can go on and on. That soul shall be cut off from among his people. We read that also, however, in the New Testament. Then we read and have heard already that the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, and that he gave to them the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And we read how that Paul has written to the Corinthians that he has admonished them for the fornication that has remained in their midst, and that he threatened that he would take action against them. To the Galatians he writes, I would they were even cut off which trouble you. And we read this also in many other places in the New Testament, which we hope to consider a little further. Thus our fathers, they say, those who under the name of Christians maintain doctrines or practices inconsistent therewith. That is, doctrines and practices. Thus, discipline within the church that goes over our life and it goes over our doctrine. That is, again, according to the word of the Lord. We read, Paul says to Timothy concerning doctrine, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Thus, when man is teaching, when man is spreading false doctrine within the church of God. And then we read also, and that he writes to the Thessalonians to withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition and that was received of us. Thus he speaks not only of the doctrine, but he speaks also about the life, the practice within our daily life. Thus a command to discipline. This command to discipline, that command actually belongs to the church as a whole. And that is why we read very often about receiving some and not having company, we read, with others, or withdrawing ourselves from others. To the Romans, Paul says, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine that ye have learned, and avoid them. To the Corinthians, Paul writes, therefore put away from among you that wicked person, so that fornicator, that idolater, the railer, the drunkard. And the church is exhorted not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers, but to come out from among them and to be separate. Thus, discipline, belonging to that whole church. Thus, the Lord says that we need to be watching over the doctrine and the life of one another, and that we may keep one another from straying into a wrong pathway. But now that execution, that is especially given unto the hands of the church officers. We read that also in the Scriptures. The controversies in the Old Testament times, they were brought to the judges, the priests, and we read that they had to make a very diligent inquisition into those things that had taken place, and they were to deal in justice with those who had sinned. Moses speaks about elders and about judges, and that every controversy had to be tried by them. The son, young people, that was disobedient to his father. We read of those wives that were cast out by their husbands, that they had to be brought unto the elders of the church. We read a very clear example of this in Ezra, where the men had taken wives of the daughters of the land. And Ezra, he has taken it upon himself to bring that people together and to discipline them, to instruct them to walk according to God's ways and to put away their strange wives, thus belonging in a special way to those, as our fathers have written, that are chosen by the church, that is, the church as a whole. Thus, that discipline that actually belongs unto the church as a whole. But then there are those that are set aside by the church that they may execute that discipline. Is that also in the New Testament we read the same? To Titus, Paul writes, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. To Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Thus, discipline within the church clearly being given unto the hands of those that are set aside to do so, office bearers. Very often, congregation, it is a duty that is neglected. And why is that a neglected duty? Because it is not a very easy duty to fulfill. Because it is very difficult for us as members to confront another member. And it is very difficult also for us as office bearers to confront the members of our church. But the Lord is warning in His word that we are not neglecting
this duty. And indeed it is one of those several things which do show who that true church is. If they are disciplining their members according to that command of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where does discipline begin? Discipline begins fathers, mothers in our homes. That is the place where when they are very young, that already they must learn to obey the commandment of father and of mother. Discipline that is continuing teachers within our school, that as they are growing up and that they are held to account to those things that you are commanding them to do within the classroom and within the society of their peers. Thus, the Lord says, spare not the rod, but to save the soul of our children. But that discipline that is continuing even in the midst of the church, so that the Lord is exhorting the members of the church. We read, John says, if any come unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Thus, that we are not bringing into our house to show hospitality unto those who are spreading false doctrines within the churches. Thus the Lord warns especially office bearers. We know the story of Eli and what the Lord has said concerning him, that it was because that he did not discipline his own sons who were officers within that church of God, and that sin continued within that church, that the Lord has cut off his sons, and he has also taken Eli away from that office. And so we can read it in several places. For example, that the minister of Thyatira in Revelations 2 and 3, that the Lord says himself, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Thus a rebuke unto the minister of the churches that he is not disciplining within his own flock. And thus, congregation, discipline in the church, that is not the institution of a man. That is not our thought, but that is the command, that is the work, that is the doing of the Lord himself. And therefore, discipline, that is a very serious thing. It is given, of course, into the hands of men, because they are the office bearers within that church. That is, that the Lord is not disciplining directly from heaven. Is that now our desire? That we would receive discipline directly by the hand of the Lord. We know that the children of Israel, they have asked for a mediator, because they felt that they could not stand before that holy and righteous God when he came with his law. Or would we not fear that when the Lord would discipline us for our iniquity, that we ourselves would be cut off. Thus, what a mercy it is that the Lord has given, and that that discipline, that he is working that discipline through the hands of men. But then it can seem to us within the church that it is of men themselves. And yet it is not so, but that that discipline is of the Lord. And because the Lord commands that discipline, then when that discipline is carried out according to that command of Christ, then it is the Lord himself that is going to carry out that discipline finally. What happened, congregation, when Peter spoke to Ananias and Sapphira, then it was not Peter that could bring about the death of these two persons, but it was upon the speaking of Peter in admonishing that the Lord himself has carried out his judgments against those who had sinned against him. And therefore, we press upon you the very serious, serious nature of what it means to be under the discipline within that church of God. Because when that is rightly administered by those who are chosen to do so, then the Lord himself says that we can expect the curse that cometh from the Lord. Yes, that discipline is carried out by men, but that discipline belongs unto the Lord. Excommunication, that is, that final stage of discipline within that church, is nothing more than a declaration of the punishment that God himself inflicts upon an evildoer. Of course, it is possible, because we are men, that men are abusing that position and that authority that is given unto them of the Lord, because men are fallible. We read of the Pharisees that they have cast out of the synagogue that man that was born blind because he was carrying his bed upon the Sabbath day. But we read that this was not carried out by Christ, because Christ visited that man. We read that Christ himself found that man when he was cast out of the church, that he revealed himself unto him, and that he gave that man to worship him. We read that the Lord Jesus says that in the last times, that his church shall be put out of the synagogues, and that whoever would kill them would think that they are doing God's service. Solomon, however, he says that the curse, causeless, shall not come. Therefore, if a man curse us causeless, then the Lord will not bring that curse upon us. That is true also in the discipline in the church. When the consistory that is administering that discipline in a wrongful way, and then the Lord will not sanction, the Lord will not carry that discipline out in the end. Thus, A consistory has a great responsibility. That is to judge rightly. That is to discipline rightly. That is to deliver those that are oppressed within the church, and to discipline those who are indeed guilty within the church. Then the consistory has a great responsibility to flee what we might call politics within the church of God. Paul says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. That is not easy. That we are being impartial, especially when we are a small congregation, and when we have much relation within the congregation, then you feel how honest and how straightforward that a consistory has to be in order to carry out that most difficult work of disciplining within that church of God. And therefore, that consistory also needs your prayer. Therefore, the consistory also needs your supplication. They do not need your condemnation. No, we read that also in the Word of God, that we ought not to receive an accusation against an elder, but by the mouth of two or three witnesses. Then it does not say, do not receive their judgment, or do not judge them. But it says, do not even receive an accusation, unless that accusation is by the mouth of two or three witnesses. And why not receive an accusation against an elder? Because an elder has a very difficult task. And that task is, when we see sin within the lives of our members, that we have to speak. That is not easy. And it is not easy to say this in a right way. And therefore, it can very easily be and that this person or that person in the congregation is upset, and that they are beginning to speak against an elder of the consistory. And therefore the Lord says that we are not to receive such an accusation, because those accusations can very easily come within a congregation only by the very difficult nature of the task of that elder that must be performed. Peter says that even the angel Michael did not dare to bring a railing accusation against them. Our second thought, the character of discipline in the church. We heard there was discipline necessary in the Old Testament church. There is discipline, was discipline necessary in the New Testament church. Is there now a difference between the discipline in the Old Testament and in the New Testament church? There is. And why is there a difference? Because in the Old Testament, Israel was a theocracy. What does that mean? That means that the civil government and the ecclesiastical government were combined. They were one. That means those that were responsible for carrying out discipline in an ecclesiastical way, they were the same ones that were responsible for carrying out the civil discipline, enforcing the civil laws. That is no longer the case. Now, there is a distinction between an ecclesiastical governor in the consistory and a civil governor or the magistrate, which is in our land. Thus, what is the difference between the ecclesiastical discipline and the civil discipline? Well, the civil magistrate has a duty to administer justice. The civil magistrate has a duty to carry out the law. Thus, a guilty person must be punished, even if that person is sorry, even if that person repents. Still, that punishment has to be carried out by virtue of what he has done. That is not so within the church. The church does not seek retribution, but the church that is seeking reconciliation. Thus, the church is seeking not to punish, but the end of that discipline is to save this person. Thus, if a sinner repents, then the very goal, the very purpose of that discipline has been achieved. And then immediately upon that repentance, that discipline is now taken away. With the state, that is very different, because the state is bound to carry out their punishment. The church is bound to reverse their decision. Thus, the whole character of the Christian discipline within the church, that is what we call medicinal. That is as a medicine, only that a person may be healed again. We show you this from a few places of the Word of God. Paul says, "Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered up unto Satan? Why? That they may learn not to blaspheme." Thus, that was his purpose. To the Corinthians, Paul says, "Being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness, according to the power that the Lord has given to me, to edification and not to destruction. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith." Thus an end, a purpose to that Christian discipline. Because it has such a purpose, then that discipline needs to be administered in a particular spirit. Paul says, count them not as your enemy, but he says, admonish him as a brother. How do we admonish a brother? A brother is loved. Is that not right, young people, children? Your brother is loved by you. And that is the reason that you admonish your brother. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourselves, lest ye also be tempted. So it speaks about a meek spirit. That is a spirit which easily gives an offender the opportunity to turn and to repent of his sin. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient unto all men. Thus, the spirit of patience. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many. Thus, a man punished by many within the congregation, they had withdrawn from him, from his company, so that contrariwise he ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such an one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. That is the spirit of compassion. Thus, how is that discipline administered on the side of the consistory members, but also within the congregation from member unto member? The necessity of that discipline that comes from above. But we have read together also how that Paul says what a good effect that discipline had within the church of God. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice. Not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might be received among us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation that it wrought in you, that is against your own self and against your own sin, that you were indignant against yourself. Yea, what fear. That is the fear of God. Yea, what vehement desire, a desire to walk according to his commandments. Yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge, not against others. No, but a revenge even against yourself and that evil way. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. That is the good effect. That is the medicinal effect and that the discipline had within that church of the Corinthians. And that is not different congregation in our day. Discipline, medicine within that church. God is jealous of his honor. And how is his name not disgraced when men who are members of a congregation are walking after the course of this world? What does the world say of that name of the Lord? It is by discipline that that holy sacrament that is kept from being profaned. It is by discipline that the purity of that doctrine is upheld. That scandal is prevented within the church. It is by discipline that the oppressed are delivered from their oppressors. When there is right judgment. Let us sing. Psalter 330. Stanzas 1 through 4. Thou who didst make and fashion me, O make me wise, thy law to learn. And then they that fear thee shall be glad, when they my hope in God discern. 1 through 4 of Psalter 330.
Our last thought, the steps of discipline in the church. How is the kingdom of heaven shut and opened by Christian discipline thus? When according to the command of Christ, those who under the name of Christians maintain doctrines or practices inconsistent therewith, and will not, after having been often brotherly admonished, renounce their errors and wicked course of life, are complained of to the church, or to those who are thereunto appointed by the church, and if they despise their admonition, are by them forbidden the use of the sacraments, whereby they are excluded from the Christian church, and by God Himself from the kingdom of Christ, and when they promise and show real amendment, are again received as members of Christ and His church. The Lord has laid out steps whereby we may know how to approach one another in the case of transgression against ourselves, that is, in a private way. Thus, God is a God of order. And so it is also within the church that there are steps in the disciplining of the members of the church, that the consistory is not acting just out of ignorance and not just acting out of haste, but that the consistory is being very careful. Ecclesiastical admonition that is spoken of in the Church Order of Dort in Articles 71 through 81, and we would like to recommend that we all read this when we come home in this day. That discipline begins with admonition, but that is different with what is called a secret sin or what is called a public sin. What is a secret sin? A secret sin is a sin that is committed privately, and that one or very few persons in the congregation know about, or a sin that has by its nature not the character to make itself known necessarily to the whole congregation. That is, of course, relative, because a few persons in a congregation of 2,000 is different from a few persons in a congregation of 350. But the general principle that is that we are seeking not to spread the knowledge of this sin, but that we are seeking to cover this sin. That is, not to cover it as we have spoken of in this morning, but that is to cover it from being made known to the rest of the congregation. Therefore, we read in Matthew 18, verses 15 and 17 through 17, how we are to act. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he shall neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. What does that mean? That means that the church as a whole is called to live in unity and in love. That means when my brother has trespassed against me and I am angry at him, and then I need to go to him
That means the Lord says you are not to keep it quiet and leave that which is between you and your brother to fester in your heart. No, but you are to try to take this thing out of the way. We know, and that there will never be a perfection in these things. We know that we are not able to do this with every little transgression of our brother, that there are so many things, because we are ourselves sinful creatures, that we simply need to look over. But it is when this sin, this transgression has brought something in between myself and my brother. Then I am not to keep quiet anymore, but then I am to seek to take this thing out of the way. Paul says, if it be possible, as much as in you lies, that we should live peaceably with all men. We would take notice also, however, what Paul writes about rebuking an elder. And he does not speak about the elders of the consistory, but he speaks about rebuking a person that is older than you are. That he says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. The secret sins. Then there are also sins which are public, or they have by their nature a character to become public. Public means known to more than just a very few persons within the church, or something that has been committed in public becomes public. Something which separates us from this person. And with such sins, the consistory itself is called to act. Whether it is brought to them by a person who has gone to them before or not. Then it begins also again with admonition. To admonish in love, in patience, in long-suffering, that person is, that there is an attempt to bring this person to repentance. Then it is possible and that this person is also forbidden to use the sacraments, and also forbidden to take part in the members' meetings. That is called not a regular censor, but it is called a silent censor. That is not something made public in the congregation, but as something that is of a less serious nature, and which is between that member and the consistory. That is, congregation, the type of censor that our synod already many years ago has advised that consistories use against those who have televisions in their homes. That is, congregation, a transgression that the consistory must place a member under silent censor four. And we hope that because that such a measure needs to be taken by the consistory, that you are not trying to hide, that you are not trying to conceal the fact that you have one of these devices in your homes, but that you are honest. It is for the welfare. It is for the welfare of the congregations. It is for the welfare of your dear children. It is for the welfare of the whole denomination that it is necessary that the congregation is taking such a step. We hope it is not necessary that we take such a step, that you see the evil, that you would not want that evil to be in your homes. But that is now silent censor. If a person turns from this, if he repents, then that censor is lifted. But then there is also a regular censor. And that regular censor is laid out for us in the church order that has to it three steps. And those three steps have to do with actually how that this censor is being announced within the congregation before that final measure of excommunication is taking place. So that the first step of regular censor, then it is announced in the congregation, not the name of the person, but that there is a member that is transgressing in a particular manner. With the advice of classes, after visiting such a person, after seeking that there may be a repenting from this sin, and there is no repentance, with the advice of classes, then the consistory may go to the second step, wherein not only the sin is made known, but also the name of that person. Finally, when the congregation is urged also to pray and to speak to this person, and that they do not turn, then the congregation is informed that unless they turn, that he will finally be excommunicated from that church of God. So that excommunication that is taking place with the approbation of the entire congregation. And if after these three steps, then obstinacy remains, and then that person is excommunicated with the form that you may also read when you come home in the back of our psalter. And then he is to be unto us, we read in the Word of God, as an heathen man and a publican. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned, not by others, but of himself. And what does that mean, congregation, to be excommunicated? If that is administered in a right way, in a faithful way, then it is not only that a man is excommunicated and cast out of the external church. But as we read it from our forefathers, that they are excluded from the kingdom of heaven by God himself. That is a serious matter. Something that is not to be applied in a light way, and something that is not to be taken by us as members in a light way. Because one day the Lord says that he is going to judge that man, that woman, by what has taken place within his church, by the officers that he has called to do that work. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. a serious thing. And even the smallest discipline that is already a serious matter. Is there any hope then for a person after that he has been excommunicated from that church of God? Yes. What is excommunication? Excommunication that has an all discipline, that has a purpose, we have heard it, that is to reconcile a person. And when there is repentance, and when there are sufficient signs unto the consistory that that repentance is genuine, then it is possible that they are received into that church again. And therefore, you may read that too, there is also a form for that purpose, congregation, church discipline. That is no light matter. Today, every man that is in the world, that is a worldly spirit, every man wants to do that which is right in his own eyes. And this is not the will of the Lord. Every one of us, you and I, are and ought to be under the scrutiny of one another. That is for the good of every one of us. Cain, he said, am I my brother's keeper? The Lord says yes. And then as a consistory, especially to watch over that flock that the Lord has committed unto them, given into their hands. Oh, we ask you something. We ask you to pray for us, because that is such a difficult task. That is in the first place. And to neglect it is the downfall of a church. The wrath of the Lord that lies not only on that individual, no, the wrath of the Lord that lies on the whole congregation when there is an Achan in the camp. Therefore, we have a duty, a heavy duty, and we ask you to pray for us. And there is a second thing. We also ask you to do what you have promised. And what was that promise? That was on that day that you may stand and you may make confession of faith before God and before the whole congregation, that in case you should be remiss, that you would submit unto the admonition of the consistory. Or we ask you that you would submit, that you would bring yourself around, that you would remember that promise that you yourself have made before the Lord, that the Lord may also discipline us. May the Lord prevent the necessity that we should have to use such a tool in your midst. But congregation, that is now the preaching of the word and church discipline, those two keys of the kingdom of heaven, we said they can be used to exclude us, they can be used to include us. How now will it be for us in a personal way? Oh, may it be that those keys may now be used not to shut us out, that we would come in the end to a door that is shut forever and forever, but that those keys may be used to shut us in forever and forever. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth,
Wilt thou remember us as a congregation? We can try to bring it, but Lord, it is dependent upon thy blessing. Help us as a consistory, that we would not be remiss in this most necessary and most difficult part of our labor. Help us as a congregation to submit ourselves, that thy wrath may not be against us as a congregation, and that all together that we might seek for that one thing that is needful, that we might live as a stranger, as a pilgrim here below, seeking a city that has foundations whose builder and maker is God. Remember us, Lord. Forgive all that was sinful this day in speaking and in listening. Crown it with thy blessing. Go with us in this week. Thou knowest each and every one, the places and labors to which we are called in this life. Help us therein. Keep us from all accident and danger and evil and sin. Be with us when we depart from one another again, and when we must serve in a sister congregation. Lord, remember us when we are apart. Help those that must serve. Wilt thou give faithfulness in coming up under thy word. Give thy blessing in our midst. And bring us safely together again at thy time. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 427 stanzas 1 and 4. Let all exalt Jehovah's goodness. For most compassionate is he, his mercy excellent in fullness, endureth to eternity. Let Israel praise Jehovah's goodness, and say, exalt his majesty, his mercy excellent in fullness, endureth to eternity. 1 and 4 of Psalter 427.
Excellent in fullness.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.